Welcome back. Well, branded food services franchisor Famous Brands released its annual numbers today. Revenues up a tepid 2%, while headline earnings per share took a 19% knock on account of an impairment related to Gourmet Burger Kitchen. This UK operation is, however, beginning to show some signs of improvement. 12 weeks after the company's financial year end, like-for-like sales at GBK spiked by 8% after falling by close to 10% in the first half and rising only 1.4% in the second half. The company's CEO, Darren Heal, joins us to discuss the numbers and what GBK's turnaround means for the company's growth moving forward. Thanks so much, Darren, for joining us this evening. So when it comes to Famous Brands, focus is on your UK strategy and when we can start to see that pay off. Let's take a step back, though. To what extent have you refined that strategy? Because you talk about difficult decisions having been taken on that end. Has it gone beyond just culling stores?
No, I think the difficult decision was around the CVA, and I mean, it's not an easy process to go through, but we've successfully gone through it. So I think that was the tough medicine we've had to swallow, but it's been successful and gone through. So and that obviously by default involves closing stores. There's been some fallout post the year with completing that, but I mean, that project was effectively done by March the 9th. So when I say it's plain sailing from here on in, I mean, that's a relative term in the UK, but we have, you know, we're focusing on selling hamburgers now, not having to negotiate with the landlords.
To the extent that we aren't going to see any further write-downs on that end?
Yeah, look, we can't guarantee that, but, you know, we are going through a very responsible process. So we, every 6 months, you know, we review the model. We have a model signed off with our auditors. We look at it, and there's a couple of variables that are in that model. So, you know, we have to take it. There's value there right now. We have to watch the trading conditions. As it's happened, the first quarter's trading conditions are favorable versus the model with the like-for-like turnover where it is. But, you know, an impairment is a living thing, but at the moment the conditions are favorable, but we're not going to put any outlook on that. We are in tough space, mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the toughest is behind us, but you never know. You know, we thought that, you know, the end of March Brexit would be done and dusted and we would be looking forward, I think, when I saw you last time, and now it's October, so come half year results again we may have some kind of indication. And it's not an excuse, but it's a tough trading environment from a consumer's perspective, because the sentiment is just not where it was, and spend is not where it was.
On the flip side of that equation, I mean, how's that impacting the kind of capital allocations you're directing its way?
Yeah, look, so I mean, the business will get the right amount of capital to make it work in terms of revamps that's required, but there's no new capital going into a new project. So, you know, until there's clarity on where we're going with Brexit and where we are with our model and getting out of that impairment phase where it's not even a question that gets asked, you know, it's not going to get the kind of capital for expansion. But we're not going to starve out of capital for maintenance, so we've just completed a revamp as an example. But that, I suppose, is what you call maintenance capex rather than new capex.
Yeah. Of course, you know, chatting to a few investors out there today, there seems to be an agreement from the market that, yes, you've stemmed the hemorrhaging, but this is by no means a turnaround story just yet. How soon before you start seeing this work to your favor, bearing in mind that you've got all of these X factors to contend with in the broader context?
No, I think you've summed it up quite well. I mean, we've said to the market today that over the next 3 years, we're going to hit break even at PBIT level. So we're EBITDA positive right now, and that's going to grow, and we're generating cash. But at, you know, PBIT level is what the market looks at, and we're not there yet. So I would agree with that sentiment, but, you know, I don't think in terms of a turnaround, it's going to be a long process, and that's what the impairment model says it's going to be. So we're fighting every day. But I think we're certainly out of the danger zone, which is probably the feedback that you got today. Yeah.
It's key because your debt profile needs a whittling away at. Now, you've restructured your debt profile, reduced gearing, your net debt to equity ratio at 108%. How much breathing room does that really afford you? And what targets do you have moving forward on that front?
No, we're very comfortable with the debt. I mean, I'm surprised you have that view, because we were very clear at full year to the market around when we would trigger the dividend. And we didn't necessarily know when we'd hit that ratio. So we were transparent. We've had a much better year than we even assumed on cash generation. And I think we refinanced our debt quite nicely. We had to put a nice, tidy package together. So we're actually comfortable with the debt. And I'm putting it in the context as comfortable as you can be with debt. So it's not something that we like to have. But we're confident around our ability to service that and resume the dividend. So, you know, we're not, you know, overly worried. I don't want to sound blasé about it, but we've hit our ratios. We said we'd trigger the dividend at that point, and we have. And we still have strong cash generation, and we have cash on hand as well.
It's that dividend that got the market excited today. Is it sustainable?
Absolutely. And I think that's what's got the market excited, is it's not just, I mean, this is not a shot in the dark by any means. You know, we've stopped the dividend for 3 years, which is longer than we'd planned to. So, you know, we've thought about it long and hard. This is not just something to get us through. We could have retained the cash, But we, you know, that we said the gross debt to EBITDA of 2, and actually we hit 1.96. So we also had to honor our commitment, and there was no reason to say that we shouldn't. We are generating cash, and things are, you know, positive. You don't know what you don't know about where the economy is going, but the first quarter seems to be okay.
And the picture no different locally. I mean, while you've had, you know, a better second half than the first in the UK, the inverse is true locally, especially in your leading brands portfolio. How are you maneuvering within this weak consumer environment?
Yeah, look, it's tough. I mean, I think we are feeling more confident. We communicated today in our presentation that H2 was tough, and that was, you know, H1 was very good, and you can almost narrow down the pressure in H2 to that peak season. So again, not offering excuses, but we can almost see it in the numbers post Black Friday, running through to middle of January. You know, the summer holidays or peak season just didn't deliver, and it may not deliver again next year. One doesn't know, but it wasn't necessarily the whole of H2 that was difficult. So I think that the first quarter things are not booming, but you're not seeing that kind of suppression that we saw. It's quite difficult to understand actually what happened in December in South Africa.
Yeah, I asked the question as well because even signature brands coming under strain, and the assumption is that often those customers that you do cater to within that category would filter through down to your leading brands categories, and that even underperforming your expectations.
Yeah, I think that the trading down component, we don't see as much of that. I think that's probably, you know, certainly when the industry was evolving, but right now people tend to just reduce their frequency and their spend. So rather than necessarily trading down, so instead of going to Turn and Tender, let's say twice a month, they might go once or go twice and reduce their spend and, you know, not order a second bottle of wine or whatever it might be. So we're not seeing that kind of trend where they would actually swap brands, but they're just going to frequent you less. And maybe not go to somebody else.
So with that, the trading picture then, how do you improve operating margin? Does it boil down to cost cutting because pricing power just isn't there?
Yeah, on leading brands, I think our margins are there. On signature brands, it's absolutely around our own cost structures internally and the way we support the network and getting scale. So, you know, that most of the businesses have been subscale up to now. They're starting to get to a point where they're getting to scale. And once you get to that scale, you're able to leverage your franchise overhead. So it's, and we also have had some loss-making businesses in there. Mm-hmm. You would have seen some of the announcements that we've made around Paul, et cetera, that help us to achieve that. So some of it's just internal tidying up, and others is around scaling. And then, of course, not necessarily rushing into anything else that's subscale up front, because that requires investment. You know, any business, if you're getting it off the ground, requires investment. A lot of these brands were bought when they were just fledglings, 1, 2, 3 stores, and we've grown them. So we've been able to bring that margin up. The margin hasn't had, or the market hasn't had sight of the margin historically. So it's not an underperformance issue. It's really around the investment into them and getting to an acceptable margin. And we are absolutely targeting hard to get 25% by the end of this year.
Customers, one thing, Darren, what about your franchisees? Are you having to support them differently in the current climate?
When I say we're always supporting franchisees, our job as the franchisor is to support franchisees around the services that we provide. But in terms of financial support, they run their own businesses, so there isn't a financial support mechanism. But they're finding it tough like we are. I mean, any other business suffering the electricity cost increases, labor increases. But I think they're holding up, very disappointed around December season. But, you know, the one thing about franchisees is they run their own businesses, they get in, they keep costs down. And we are providing the support in terms of getting that top-line turnover. So even though like-for-like is at a slower pace with food inflation, we're keeping it up there and they are getting growth, which, you know, really helps to keep feet coming through the door.
Let's leave it there, Darren. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Darren Hill is CEO of Famous Brands.